Let's bring in our first guest this morning, State Senator Mike Jacobson, who's waiting patiently. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well, sir.
Doing well.
It's a little cool out. I'm trying to imagine camping in this kind of weather.
Yeah.
Why is
the question?
That's probably an escapee from a mental institution would be the ones that do that.
But there's people that wondered that. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes that's the order.
I hear you. Regarding the job, I'm just thinking if it paid more than $12,000 a year, I maybe would have been interested.
Yeah, but radio didn't pay real well, but we are above that.
You're above the $12,000. All right. Okay. Well, that's something to keep in mind. So, it's been interesting in the legislature. Last week, I didn't mention this in my article this week, and largely because I usually have my daughter proofread my article. And she's a lobbyist, and she's actually on the other side of this issue. Got hired by a crypto customer that's been a customer of their firm.
We're talking about
So this is that's been interesting. But I introduced a bill, and actually I had worked with the governor's office, and he wanted me to offer it at the request of the governor. And what the bill does is it adds an excise tax. Originally, we were proposing 2.5 cents. We reduced it to a penny. During the hearing, I brought an amendment to take it to a penny. So 1 cent excise tax. It would per kilowatt hour.
Okay.
So 1 cent per kilowatt hour. It would raise between $15 and $20 million a year in tax revenue, but the purpose was to curb the growth of new crypto miners within the state and to dissuade those from out of the state from coming to Nebraska. So let me just explain once. Cryptocurrency miners, there's all kinds of cryptocurrency. The one that's most popular would be Bitcoin, but there's Ethereum and there's a whole bunch of other cryptocurrencies. And these are predominantly those that operate on the blockchain, but not all of them. Some of them use less energy, but crypto operates on the blockchain. Now, I'm not a crypto expert, and those people that are upset with me for bringing the bill have made that perfectly clear on Facebook this guy's ignorant and doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I've been able to stumble along and make a buck somewhere along the way, but I guess I...
Have you asked them to explain how cryptocurrency works? See who's ignorant.
Yeah, well, the classic is that they want to avoid the obvious, that the bill is not anti-cryptocurrency. The bill is anti-electricity hogs, okay?
So, no joke.
Yeah, I mean, give you an example. There's a crypto mine in Kearney, on the edge of Kearney, inside the city limits. That crypto mine uses 100 megawatts of power annually, 100 megawatts of power. To put that in perspective, that's more power than the rest of the entire city of Kearney uses.
Wow.
In power.
Man, I didn't realize
they are just energy hogs. In that particular case, NPPD had to build a brand new substation.
They did.
Just to
feed that beast.
Feed the power to it.
Wow.
And that was done at NPPD's expense. And then the city gave them 11 acres of ground. And you guys all know what's happened to the price of Bitcoin. Now I know I've been educated a little bit in terms of, well, as more and more miners are out there mining, that now is, and so, you know, people say, well, mining, what's mining? Well, what cryptocurrency miners do is most of them are using storage containers or something near that, and they have racks and racks of what they call GPUs, as opposed to CPUs. And up to now, most all of them have been made in China. These GPUs solve complicated mathematical equations. Now, here's the crazy part about it, is you will have like four miners that will compete with each other to who can solve the equation the fastest. And whoever solves the equation the fastest gets to complete that particular page and that becomes their proof of work to build the blockchain chain. Okay, so you've got four of these mining machines running.
Four times the power.
And three of them have just completely wasted it because they can't even finish the page. And the winner then gets to finish the page. And they get paid a fraction of a Bitcoin for winning the page. Okay, so then they just continue to work and build the blockchain and continue to earn crypto currency, and in this case, Bitcoin. So that's all mining is, but it takes a tremendous amount of power to run the computers, the cooling, because there's a lot of heat generated, and so therein lies the problem. They're taking, right now, NPPD has allocated just NPPD, over 250 megawatts of power is going to Bitcoin mining today. Now, or crypto mining, but primarily it's Bitcoin. So as you look at what's happening, our concern has been that Lincoln and Omaha are pretty well, they have pretty much a flat need for power. So there's really not a lot of off-peak time in Lincoln and Omaha. When you get into rural Nebraska, you get in the summertime and you got irrigators and you'll have more of a peak load. Mm. And so what happens is the rural public power districts have a peak load and then they go down and then they don't have the peak load. So in the non-peak times, one of their options would be to allow the Southwest Power Pool to just take that excess power and use it elsewhere in the power pool. Or you go out, and some of them have actually recruited Bitcoin miners to come and set up shop. Now, the key and the concern that I have and the concern that the governor has is electricity is taxed, has a sales tax, okay? The state gets 5.5%, and then if you're within a city, you would have your local option taxes, okay? Most cities, the local option sales tax is a penny and a half. North Platte's 2 cents because they passed the half cent for the rec center and the new pool. So they will pay those taxes, but they don't pay much else in taxes, and they have virtually no employees. So when you look at economic development, I look at this from the standpoint that we have two really limited resources in Nebraska. We're going to protect our water, and we should be protecting our electrical supply. When you look at the pace that they're growing and the amount of energy that they consume, my point is if we want to grow Nebraska, which we're going to have to do if we want to get our high taxes down, I people have talked about how do we fix the tax problem. Well, the way you fix the tax problem is you get more people paying taxes and we all pay less. And you spread the overhead over more taxpayers. So that means that we've got to recruit businesses that are going to hire people, that are going to provide good wages, good benefits. They're going to buy houses, which means we'll build more houses, and they'll buy houses, they'll shop in our local stores. That's how you create economic development.
And none of which crypto miners give you.
Bingo. I will tell you, as I drive across the state down where the farms are at in Clay County, there's two storage containers next to a substation right along Highway 6 just west of Sutton. There's no employees there. Okay, a car drives by once a week or whenever and checks on it and has several other of them scattered around the state. So there's no employees there. They're right next to a substation. They're grabbing power right off the substation. Now, their big pitch, and of course the pitch from the rural electrics, is, well, they're interruptible, that we can shut them down during peak load periods. Yeah, they can. But here's the kicker. If they're willing to do that, what are they doing on the rate for the electricity? So I can tell you that the average electrical rate in the state of Nebraska is 8.5 cents a kilowatt hour. 8.5 cents. Most of these crypto miners are getting the power for 4 or 5 cents a kilowatt hour. And they're arguing, well, you're discriminating against us because you're going to charge us this 1 cent excise tax. Well, you guys are buying the power for half price. Okay, why do you get a better rate than I do? and anybody else here? Well, because of volume, because they're using lots of volume. Okay, so you're burning more dollar bills than everybody else. I mean, but I mean, in their case, they don't produce a product that we can use. Okay, the only person who benefits from a crypto mine is the owner of the crypto mine.
Right.
Okay, they get paid in Bitcoin if it's a Bitcoin mine. If they don't have a big footprint, then they're not paying hardly anything in property taxes. And many of them are just personal property taxes, which amortize out over 5 years. So they're paying a little bit of property taxes. They're paying personal property taxes on their mining machines. And then they're paying sales tax. But beyond that, they're not creating employees, which is really what's going to drive the economy. And then income taxes. Okay, let's talk about income taxes for a minute with crypto miners. They get paid in Bitcoin. Okay, they get paid in Bitcoin. Isn't that kind of like getting paid in cash?
No.
I say that.
Voodoo and black magic.
Well, it is, but I mean, in terms of traceability, okay, how do we know that they're paying that, and particularly those that are coming in from out of state? So if you're out of state, you still have to pay income taxes on revenues you produce in the state. But are they just shifting it to some other state that's got a lower tax rate, or shifting it to where they don't pay it at all?
Very possible.
Well, one of the testifiers the other day, literally when I was asked that question, he kind of stumbled around and said, well, I mean, there's a lot of transactions that get paid using cash, and how many of those get reported? Okay, I'm going to take that you're not paying your taxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're wrong guy to say that.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to interpret that answer, just so you know. My concern is, and here's the other thing I found really interesting, is the crypto mine in Kearney was started by a company called Compute North. Well, they were expanding significantly in other states. Then the price of Bitcoin dropped like a rock here and a few years ago, mm-hmm. and they filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So then they got bought out here this last year from a company called Para. And Para is a publicly owned company that's located in Florida. So because they're publicly traded, I can look at their balance sheet. Now, they had $3.2 billion of Bitcoin on their balance sheet. They bought the facility for like $165 million. Okay. County assessor for Buffalo County came and testified and said, this is, how do we value these things? And so they went in and took approach of said, we're going to value the land, and then we're going to try to value the storage units and so on. So their assessed value is under $40 million. They bought it for $165 million.
So four times less.
Four times, yeah, fourth of what that probably should be valued at. And I don't blame the assessor. The assessors have a very difficult job when you have these unique assets, and how do you value them. So some pushback I've had from a couple of senators that have them in their districts is, oh, my God, we add this 1 cent excise tax, they're going to leave. And they're producing a lot of, like in Kearney, they produce about $1 million a year in sales tax revenue for the city of Kearney. And I'm saying, yeah, but imagine if you instead would recruit business. Because right now, if you bring in a business that needs power year-round, okay, that are going to need 5 megawatts or more of power annually, they're on a five-year wait list. They're on a five-year wait
list. That's the big issue from the power supplier.
Yeah.
Is that these things are sucking so much energy, we don't have energy to offer to anybody else.
And at some point, and they're arguing, well, when you get to the peak load, we're just sopping up the difference. You know, we're just taking the off-peak stuff. Well, today you are. But at a rate in which they're coming in, when will the off-peak be the peak?
Right.
And then once they're all here, how on earth do you go back to them and say, hey, we've got other industries that are going to be better for us, we're going to shut you off, and then they start suing, okay? I'm just saying,
write that in the contract to start with.
Bingo. I mean, it's time to cut the head of the snake off now. And uh, I I'm very frustrated that we've got a number of folks out there that all they can see is some revenue today, and they aren't looking down the road at what the problem is. Some of them are saying, some of the rural electrics are saying, well, we're not getting any industrial growth, so why'd we do this? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, that last I checked, sustainable beef came to North Platte, and there's going to be a lot of spinoff business from there. You go down to Holdridge, and they're talking about a sustainable aviation fuel plant. That would do a lot for Nebraska, but that also is very energy intensive. Unfortunately, everybody knew that's coming, even the fertilizer plant in Gothenburg, very energy intensive. So mm-hmm. we just got to think about how we allow that to happen. I compare it a lot to water and say, you know, we're not going to restrict water consumption in the summertime and then say in the wintertime we're going to let Colorado or somebody come in and suck all the water out of the aquifer in the off-peak time. It doesn't work that way, folks, you know.
With respect to the Bitcoin mining operation in Kearney and what its value is, I don't know where Stan Klaus sits in relation to you at the floor, well, but walk over and ask him how that goes.
I've done that. Let's just say that I've had some other senators that have told me they went to talk to him about it. He gets red in the face. You can see his veins start to pop. I mean, he is absolutely convinced that if we run this 1 cent excise tax that they're leaving Kearney and Kearney loses $1 million a year in revenue. I'm saying, Stan, that's just not going to happen.
That's
it's just not going to
like
happen.
A mayor, past mayor.
It is. And there's one in in Aurora. Okay, the one in Aurora, I think, has taken somewhere around 30 or 35 megawatts. Now they paid for their own substation. They paid to bring power lines in to bring power to the substation, and they built the facility. Now, if we add a 1 cent excise tax, which is the equivalent of adding 1 cent to the price of their power.
Right.
Are they leaving?
If they're willing to do all that.
Of course not. Right? Of course not. They're going to stay here. But it will, what I'm hoping the message gets sent with this bill, if we pass it, is that people are thinking about coming to Nebraska ought to say, you know, they have this excise tax and all the legislature have to do is meet again and raise it to 2 or 3 or 5 cents and choke us out. And so we've got to get our arms around this. And I would tell you the other frustrating thing was the state chamber, and I want to qualify it's the state chamber, not our local chamber, and at NEDA, Nebraska, you know, the Economic Development Association, are opposing the bill and saying we ought to just let everybody, we don't want to send a message that we're not inviting more development in Nebraska. Well, then please give me your strategic plan as to how you think we should grow this state and fix our tax problem. Because all I hear from constituents, as rightfully so, is what are you going to do to bring down our high cost of taxes? We are one of the higher taxed states, and we've got to do something to reduce that. And that means we've got to recruit businesses here and hire more people, and we've got to spread this cost over more people. And we're not going to get it done by squandering our electricity away, because the numbers that add up here are very minuscule compared to what we can get done with a sustainable beef. I mean, sustainable beef will hire more people than all the Bitcoin mining operations times 10.
Easily.
You had said that there's a wait list for other energy-intensive businesses.
Yes.
Why do these companies get a pass that wait list?
Well, because these companies need year-round power. So that means they need power during the peak load season as well. They can't shut down during peak. So my view is, have you looked at battery storage? And at what point can we do more with battery storage to store power in the off-peak, use it during the peak? I mean, there's other things we can do, but sitting here and just committing all of our off-peak load power and sell it for 50 cents on the dollar to operations that are going to make investments to come here and then be reluctant to allow us to shut them off completely, you know, that's just, I think we're going to run into a lot of problems. I really do.
With everybody that is a proponent of this,
right?
Have they factored in Nucor Steel up in Norfolk?
Right.
I mean, there is a huge power consumer.
Right.
But they have something at the end of it.
They're building something.
Yeah.
And the same thing with these fertilizer plants, and go on down through the list. They're returning nothing back to the economy. And that's the other big problem. Hey, one other quick thing I want to mention. I'm probably running over time here.
You're all right.
But and this is not going to be the biggest issue we talk about in the session. I want you to know, I've had some emails from people that are like, why are we talking about all of this other crap? Why aren't we just talking about taxes? And I hear you. But the problem is that every state senator is going to introduce bills. And we could talk about taxes, and it would take us about a week, because what's going to happen with the tax plan, just what happened last summer, is if you have 17 people that are opposed to the plan, you're done, and you come back next year. So we're going to have to continue to work through tax proposals, but we've got to get some other things done that other senators see are priorities to them. And one of them that's coming back, it's Groundhog Day again. It's daylight savings time, standard time.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I think it's pretty well accepted that moving your clocks forward and backward does have an effect on people, some people more than others. Okay. It doesn't matter to me, but there's a lot of people that it does mess with their minds. I mean, it screws up.
Yeah, you get into circadian rhythms and all that stuff, and that messes with people.
Yeah, that's over my pay grade, but I just know that is an issue. So then the question becomes, okay, do we do daylight savings time or do we do standard time?
Right.
Well, personally, I like daylight after I get off work and at the end of the day. The Golfing Association, they want, you know, daylight savings time. So there's a lot of push for daylight savings time, but the federal government has already passed that if you want to go to standard time year-round, you can. But we had a little problem here in Nebraska, and I really have to hand it to Todd Von Kampen, who really pointed this issue out, is we have a little issue of a time zone change that occurs here in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get over by Paxton, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you got Central Time and you got Mountain Time.
Yeah.
So, and then you go to Colorado, okay, and Colorado...
Get Mountain Time over there.
So imagine if we change our time to daylight savings time, okay, which we can't do without the approval. We'll need government approval, federal government approval, to go to to go to year-round daylight savings, but we could go to standard time now. But if we go to standard time now and we don't tie it into, say, Colorado, it really messes with western Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to drive down the interstate and you're going to hit to about Paxton where the time zone change is, and you're going to have to change your clock to mountain time. Okay, but then it's going to be mountain standard time. And then if you get the Colorado border and you go to mountain daylight savings time, now you're changing your clock again. I mean, that's messed up.
There's enough people that already have a problem of what we have now.
And then you look at any public, I mean, I find it, one thing about moving the North Platte here originally is when you start seeing like in Ogallala, it's like, okay, well, this is such and such mountain time, or that's such and such central time. And it's kind of like when we all see these football games and it's going to be here's the time, and you say it's 8 o'clock. No, it's 7 o'clock. Well, it's 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Right.
Okay. So they, you know, that, so that's a problem in itself, and I'll be raising that in terms of because the bills that have been introduced, one of them says that all the states around us would have to comply. Okay, and that's Megan Hunt's bill. And that's permanent daylight savings time. So I kind of like her bill. It requires all the states around us to agree. So you don't want to drive down into Kansas and find out, oh, let's see, what time is it? Is it central or mountain? Because is it daylight savings or is it regular time in the summertime? So there are a lot of issues that get involved. All I know is that was the legitimate filibuster in that everybody kept arguing one side or the other last year, and Senator Erdman was probably leading the charge on his view of it. and we never accomplished anything. So here we go again. Now we're going to get both bills dropped on the floor. And in my mind, unless we have kind of got a pretty good idea of what we're going to do, let's don't schedule them until we got other things to get done. And we, I don't think we want to burn 8 hours just filibustering and debating these bills that, that may not go anywhere. But that, but I would say if you got an opinion on it, let me know. I'd be kind of curious to know. My preference would be if we went to permanent daylight savings time and we did it when all the states around us also did the same thing,
right.
I think we got a workable solution. But that's me. And there may be others that are saying, no, it needs to be regular. It needs to be standard time. It's like, well, I'm here to represent your interests. So
very good. Very good. Well, good luck with that this week.
Yeah. So we're starting to get into meatier issues, just so you know. And we will be talking taxes. Trust me, we will be talking taxes. There's several bills. I am on the Revenue Committee, and we scheduled the easy stuff first to have stuff to work on the floor. But the harder stuff is coming, just so you know.
Okay. Got everybody, you know, happy to start.
Hey, we can work together. This really works
and
well.
And then we'll see.
Then all of a sudden somebody throws a grenade in. You know, that's exactly right.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Safe trip.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys. We're heading back to Lincoln, so hopefully the snow roads aren't too bad. But I heard they had snow. I heard that down at the farm they got 5 or 6 inches here yesterday.
It was worse to the east. So yeah. You're driving into the teeth of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. My in-laws were driving back late last night, and there was some accidents. So yeah. Be careful heading
I'll
that
try
way.
To avoid the accidents. I don't want to be the accident. I just want to drive around.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. All right. Thanks, guys.
State Senator Mike Jacobson here joining us on this Monday morning, 8:37. We'll take a timeout. We'll get you back to Mugs in just a moment on Husker Radio.